admit that I've greatly enjoyed this walk through the Psalms that we've been doing the past few weeks. Psalms, to me, have always been a great source of encouragement. As James said earlier, Psalm 23 is probably the most well-known psalm of all the psalms. It was strikes me as kind of funny that some people who I've met who don't know any other scripture will have memorized Psalm 23 by heart. It's just been a great source of hope for people for a long time. So turn with me now to Psalms 23 as we take a look at the hope that David writes about. Psalm 23, beginning in verse 1, says, "A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, I thank you for the encouragement that you've given to us in this psalm, Lord. I thank you for the message of it. God, I pray today that this message of hope and encouragement would be felt by all here. God, I pray that this opportunity to worship you and to just to acknowledge you as our shepherd, Lord. I pray that that today our hearts would be on you and our minds would be focused on you, God, and that you would give us understanding. In your name, amen. As I said, it's a very familiar psalm. I've heard it many times, and so many that I can't even count, that it's been read at funerals or wakes or things such as that, just to give us comfort at the passing of a loved one. But I think just studying this psalm this past week and reading over it, I think it offers a lot of messages to us today as well. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, called this psalm the Pearl of the Psalms. He preached many a sermon on it, and it was one of his favorite psalms, he said. It describes God in a way that not many other places in the Scriptures do. You see, it talks about who God is. And we see a lot of different descriptions of God in the world. We see if we go to schools and universities, and they talk about God being evolution. Many times they talk about God being non-existent. Even some churches talk about God being a distant being who is unconcerned with our lives. But that's not the message that we see in Psalm 23. We see a very different psalm. And to understand what David is saying in this psalm, we have to understand a little bit about who David is. So, who is God according to David? Well, we have to see who David is. David was a king, obviously, known as the great king of Israel, ushered in the golden age of Israel, if you will. But he was many other things also. He was a leader. He was a warrior. He was a protector. He was a poet, a musician. He was many things. But if we look in verse 1 at David's description of who God is, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's a very interesting description, because
No one knew this better than David, but a shepherd was not a very respectable, it wasn't a very respectable task in those days. It wasn't a respectable vocation. He knew this very well, as he was a shepherd himself in his early years. In fact, if we look at David's past, his history, if you read through Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, you'll see a little bit about David. But the very beginning of when he's mentioned in the Bible is when the prophet Samuel goes to the house of Jesse to anoint a king, a new king of Israel. Jesse has all his sons line up, and Samuel passes through all of them, even though they're great men by the world's standards. But he passes all of them, and he says to Jesse, "Are these all of your sons?" And Jesse says to him, he says, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping sheep." You see, David had the task of keeping the sheep because he wasn't the oldest child. He was the youngest child, and he was the least likely, in Jesse's eyes anyway, to be a candidate for becoming the king of Israel. So we see that the shepherd is not a respectable vocation as far as the world's standards, but David used this description. So why should we look at David's description if it's in a way demeaning in our world? Well, I think one very good qualification David has for his description of God is that he himself is known as a man after God's own heart. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, it says, "He, speaking of God, raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified, saying, 'I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will.'" You see, David was a man after God. And as believers, we should also seek to be men and women after God's heart. We should also seek to have the same relationship that David displays in his writings. So we look at David's description of a shepherd and the promises that the shepherd brings. And we look and we find in this psalm three different distinct promises. The first promise is we find the promise of rest in life. I think it's very fitting, having just concluded a sermon series by James on rest, it's very fitting to talk about rest again. And I won't spend too much time on it, just because we've already covered it very much. But we have two different aspects to the promise of rest that the shepherd brings. And the first is the personal nature of the shepherd. If we notice in verse 1, we see David describing the Lord as a shepherd. We see that he says in verse 1, he does not say the Lord is a shepherd. He doesn't say the Lord is the shepherd. It's very interesting to point out that he says the Lord is my shepherd. You see, David understood what it was to have a very personal relationship with God, his shepherd. And I think it's that personal nature of God as our shepherd that's very important for us to understand as well. But not only do we see the very evident relationship of David with God as his shepherd, we also see throughout scriptures numerous examples of the shepherd's relationship with his sheep. Turn with me momentarily to John chapter 10. We see in John chapter 10, this is Jesus speaking, where he says in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." We see there a very real and a very passionate love, a strong relationship that the shepherd has with his sheep. Now continue down to verse 14. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." See, God is not just an all-powerful being out there, as some people believe, but God is our shepherd who seeks to have a personal relationship with us and also knows us. It says there, I know my own. It doesn't say I know part of my own or something about my own, but it's a very complete knowledge that only God can have. So we see in verse 1 the very personal nature of God as our shepherd. Another aspect of the rest in life that he provides is through the provision of our shepherd. You see, God's task as a shepherd is to provide many different things for his sheep. First of these things, as we already mentioned, in the main point, is he provides rest. It says in verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. I think it's very interesting to note that God makes us rest. He leads us to rest. And it's always a good reminder to me as I look in the scriptures that the very first example that God sets for us is the example after creation. After the 6 days of creation, it says on the seventh day, God rested. That's the shepherd leading his people. So he provides for us the rest. What else does he provide for us? Well, secondly, he also provides for us restoration. And that's restoration from sin, from our fallen nature. I was reading a book this week by an author named Philip Keller. He's an author, actually a former shepherd as well. And he's talking about this relationship with the restoration of the shepherd and the restoration the shepherd provides. And he describes what he calls a cast sheep, which is an old English term. And this is outside my area of expertise, just like just about everything else. But but he describes this thing called a cast sheep. And the description is of a sheep, a larger, fatter sheep, that's full of wool, that hasn't been sheared, laying down, and sheep lay down on their side, it talks about a sheep laying down, and if they get too relaxed, they lose their center of gravity. And they actually flip all the way upside down. And I thought that was a good illustration because it's very comical. I just get this picture in my mind of a sheep upside down just kicking its legs back and forth. That's like us in sin. It's the same thing. And if the sheep is left too long, by the way it's positioned, the circulation in its body gets cut off and it will die if you leave it there too long. So it's the shepherd's job as a tender of the sheep to restore the sheep back to its upright position. Well, in the same way, our sin can sometimes take us off our feet. Sometimes, if we get too relaxed, in many ways, we forget that the devil is a prowling lion seeking to devour us. And we get so relaxed that before we know it, we're swept up in sin, swept off our feet. Well, it is the shepherd's promise to restore us if we get swept up. Scriptures say that God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able, but he'll provide us a way of escape so that we can endure it. That is one of the provisions that the shepherd offers us. He offers us restoration to our broken lives. And I think that's very important to look at. We see that in the beginning of verse 3. It says, he restores my soul. It also says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So we see the provision of the shepherd is not limited to rest and restoration, but it is also a provision of righteousness. Sheep, if any of you have ever seen a sheep, they're definitely not the most intelligent of creatures. They need a leader. They need someone to guide them, or else they can get lost very easily. Well, I think that's one reason why David uses this picture of sheep and a shepherd, because as sinners in this world, we often get lost ourselves. We often lose our way. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." You see, just as sheep in the physical sense have a tendency to lose their way, we as sheep in the spiritual sense also have that same tendency. And it is the shepherd who gives us that righteousness, who leads us to it, as it says in the text. So he leads us to righteousness, but it's also important to note, at the end of verse 3, it says, "For his name's sake." He leads us to righteousness for his name's sake. What does that mean? Well, I have a friend, and I have to confess that I know nothing about stocks or the NASDAQ or the market or anything like that. I don't know anything about that, but I have a friend who invests pretty heavily into the market. He's a student, so he doesn't invest that heavily, but I guess that's all relative. But he invests a lot in the market, and so he has a lot at stake. And he knows all of the statistics and all of the market statistics backwards and forwards. He knows them very well. And that's because he has a personal interest in what's at stake. He has a personal interest in the success and the growth of his assets. But in the same way, God, as our shepherd, has a very personal interest in our growth as his sheep. He has invested into us more than we could ever know. With the investment of his son, he's invested so much into us that he is concerned about our spiritual well-being. So he leads us to righteousness, not only because it's his promise, but also because it's his desire as our shepherd, as our God. So he provides to us as a shepherd. He provides to us, we see in verses 1 through 3, rest, restoration, and righteousness. And that's the rest that we find in our lives as believers. This rest that is provided by our good shepherd. But what else does the shepherd provide for his sheep? Well, the second thing that we see in this text is a reassurance in death. And what does that mean, a reassurance in death? Well, I think if we look at the text in verse 4, it says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." It says, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and that can actually literally be translated the shadow of shadows, the darkest times in our lives. And I think we would all agree that we are in America and in the world, are in dark times. And all we have to do is turn on the news and we can see the darkness in our times. We can see the very real presence of evil. I was reading a statistic this past week, and it said in last year alone in the United States, there were over 2.5 million people incarcerated. You see, the United States and the world is a very evil place. There's a very real presence of destruction, and that comes from the nature of sin, which has been brought up on our cursed world. So what does the shepherd offer us in our death. It says in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 2, it says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world." You see, what the shepherd offers us is another course. Not the course of this world, but his course as a leader, as a guide. And one part of that is, as we see in verse 4, the protection of the shepherd. God is our foundation, our protector. And so it says in verse 4 that David says, "He will fear no evil. For you are with me," he says. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." You see, as believers in this world, even though it's a place of unbelievable sin and destruction and evil, we as believers, as God's sheep, have no need to fear evil. We have no fear of evil because God is our protector. I think it's interesting to see that David says, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." It's interesting because we don't usually see a rod and a staff as comfort in David's vocation and the vocation of a shepherd. A staff was used as a weapon. It was used for protection of the sheep. And it was also used to punish. But we see David seeing the rod and the staff of God as a very real comfort to him in times of trouble. Why is this? Well, as believers, we know God and the power of God that God has over this world. You see, God has a very real power over sin and evil. And what David's saying here is that if he fears God, he has no need to fear anything else. Because God has the power over sin and darkness. He has the power to protect his sheep. I think David understood this very well. Because he had oftentimes was met by creatures who sought to do him, his sheep, harm. And he had to use that rod and that staff to protect his sheep. So I think this is a very real and a very important message that David is sharing with us. Another thing that we see in verse 4, it says, "For you are with me." Another thing that the Lord provides for us within his protection is also that he provides us no possibility of abandonment. That's very important in our times, in our lives. It's easy as believers, especially if we seek to follow God with our whole heart, at times feel very alone. But as David says in Psalm 23, we have no need to feel alone. And that message is echoed throughout the scriptures. Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite verses, Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39 says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God." That is the promise of a shepherd. That he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And this was a very real promise to David. As we see throughout the Psalms that he wrote, oftentimes they're Psalms of seeking after God, seeking the encouragement of God. And David seems to find it in the end. In Psalm 23, we see that God has not only dispelled our fear of evil, but he's also given us no reason to believe that we will be abandoned as his sheep. I think that's a very important promise for us. Even today, this is true, just as it was true for David. So what else does this protection provide? What else? What other reassurance does our shepherd provide for his sheep living in a world full of death? The second thing we see is the provision of the shepherd. In verses 4 and 5, we read, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." You see, we want to focus in on that verse 5, the provision that God gives us in the reassurance that he gives us in this world of sin. It says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." You see, God offers us comfort in our trials. Even though we have trials, he gives us the strength to make it through. As our shepherd, he promises us comfort. Not only in verse 5 does he promise comfort, but he promises care also in the midst of trouble. We see God's message of care throughout all of this psalm, a message that says that he will never leave us, a message that says that he is all we need. At the end of verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You see, God is the very fulfillment of all of our needs as human beings. He is the only thing that we need. So he offers us that provision, not only in good times, but also in times of trouble. The third very important act of the psalm, and the very important promise of the shepherd, is that thirdly, he offers us hope for the future. You see, many of these psalms that David wrote, many psalms, but many of the psalms are born from suffering. They're born from pain. They're born from despair. But this psalm is not like those. This is a message of hope. A message that says, I will walk through the valleys. I will struggle with sin. I will struggle with death. But the promise is that God will always be there with me, that God will always provide with me. An incredible message of hope that is very real today, just as it was very real to David. And through this message of hope, we see in verse 6, looking towards a future of certainty. It says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You see, we have a future of certainty that all of our lives, that our shepherd will provide for us goodness. He will provide for us mercy. He will provide for us what we need to make it through. So we have a future of certainty in an uncertain time. We have a future of certainty where, in a time where many struggle to find jobs, many struggle with the thought of losing their jobs in an unstable economy, many struggle with illness, many struggle with temptations and sins. But we have a future of certainty that says that no matter what the struggles we have, and no matter what the troubles we face, that placing all of that aside, we still have a future with our shepherd. We still have a future with our God. Secondly, we see also in the end of verse 6, in closing this psalm, we see that we also have a Father forever. You see, God as a shepherd is not only a leader, he is not only a caretaker, but he is also a Father. It says in the end of verse 6, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It gives us a picture of the love that our shepherd has for us. It gives us a picture of the strong ties that bind him to us. The ties of love. The ties that say he would give anything for us, even his very own son. So we see that he is not only a shepherd, but a father as well. I think David understood this message of hope. He understood it very well. He was able to see what the promises of God meant. He was able to follow God because he knew he had a future. He knew that his Father would not forsake him. As I said, this is a message of hope for us as sheep. But you know what? Sometimes in this world, in our lives, we tend to forget that God is everything that we need in our lives. We tend to forget that God alone sustains us. We turn to a lot of other things. We turn to our careers, money, possessions, other things. And I think that at times we get boggled down with the things of this life that we forget, and we lose sight of our shepherd. We lose sight of God. And isn't it easy to do in this world? And I'm speaking from personal experience, that it's easy to lose sight of God leading us. It's easy to think about work and business and watch the news and think that our futures are nothing, that we live and we die and that's all that we have. But we see in the scriptures, not only in this psalm, but throughout the scriptures, numerous examples of God and his plan for his sheep, his provision for a future, his provision for his children. So I would ask you a couple questions that I found in my own life from this psalm. And the first is something in the way of you following your shepherd? You see, it's the job of the shepherd to lead, but the sheep also must follow. And it's hard to follow in this present age when we lose sight of what's important. We lose sight of our shepherd. So I have to ask you today, and there's no way I can know where everyone is at spiritually, but you have to ask yourself this question: is something in the way of you following your shepherd? God is a faithful shepherd, but are you a faithful sheep? That's the first question we see in this psalm. The first question that was brought to my mind. The second question is, who is your shepherd? We know that David was a man who followed after God, a man after God's own heart, which is what we should seek to be. And David has such a real and alive relationship with God that he knew beyond the shadow of all doubts that these promises were for him, and this promise of hope was for him. We don't know at what time Psalm 23, at what time David's life it was written. But the hope that David had was that it doesn't matter what time, doesn't matter what struggles we're going through. Because this promise is true always. It's timeless. David understood that. And this promise is still true for us today. But we have to ask ourselves, because this promise is true for God's sheep, are we the Lord's sheep? Do we know God in the very real and very alive way that David did? And are we seeking to follow after him? See, there's many uncertainties in this world, but the one constant that we can always count on is God. The one constant that we can always rely on is the promises of the shepherd. His promises of protection, his promises of provision, of rest, of restoration. These are all things that are true. They will always be true. But we have to ask ourselves, if you don't feel this hope in your life, if you don't understand what these promises mean, we have to ask ourselves, are we God's sheep? Are we seeking after him? Are we seeking to follow him? Are we seeking to become men and women after God's heart, as David was? You see, this message in the psalm, in Psalm 23, is a psalm of hope. It's a psalm of strength. It's a psalm that gives us hope for our futures. I don't know where you are in your lives today, but if you've lost sight of that hope, you have to ask yourself, why is that? You have to ask yourself, can I still see the shepherd leading me? Or has something gotten in the way? You have to ask yourself, do I know the shepherd that David knows? Let's pray. Your Father in heaven, I thank you for the message that you've given us in this psalm, Lord. I thank you for the promise of hope, the hope for a future, hope for a relationship with you, God. And at times we struggle with our relationship with you. We struggle with losing sight of our hope. We struggle with losing sight of you in the shadow of this world. God, I pray that we would ask ourselves the questions that lead us to you, Lord. I pray that we would ask ourselves if we are faithful to our shepherd. If we are faithful because we know that you will always be faithful, Lord. I thank you for this message, and I thank you for the example of David. And I pray that it would be true and real in the lives of everyone here. In your name, amen.